LeBron is done winning championships. And if he's done winning championships, why do you have him on your roster? I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, yo, what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast. Coming at you once again, as always. I appreciate you guys hopping on for a few minutes. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Wherever you're watching, listening. Thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day to hang out with me. Talk some football, mostly. Did want to touch on some basketball. Don't forget to like, subscribe again, and check out the website, sportsintheReal.tv, sportsintheReal.tv. But let's get into it. All right, it's what is it? Week 5 of college football, week 4 of the NFL, and the NBA is about to kick off with training camp and the preseason and all that. It's about to be like our favorite time of year for a sports fan, right? I know I love the NBA playoffs because that's when big boy basketball comes out. But for a sports fan who just wants to watch sports all the time, like stay home and do nothing, it's about to be that time of year where, especially now where, you know, there's going to be big games on TV almost every night because of the streaming with the Amazon and Peacock and all that. Like, it's going to be good for a sports fan to just basically sit back and chill and watch, right? Sports, football. Football is going to be Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and everything else is going to be basketball. So, favorite time of year is coming up for a sports fan. And baseball playoffs. Forgot about baseball playoffs. Probably too much. Overload. Sports overload coming up in a couple of weeks. But just for now, it's going to be football and a little bit of basketball. So a little bit of basketball is this, right? And I'll do a full episode on the NBA season and preview and all that, right? But news came out last week, which to me sounds crazy that the Lakers essentially declined an extension for LeBron. Now, when you read about it, Pelinka's talking about, well, you know, they still want him around, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Who knows what the truth is around here anymore? I said this before, right? And I'll say it again. LeBron is done winning championships. And if he's done winning championships, why do you have him on your roster? Yes, LeBron is still one of the best players in the NBA. But not come playoff time. Come playoff time, he gets exposed for being the old head that he is. Bro got grays in his beard like me. And obviously, he's the all-time probably greatest athlete ever, one of the greatest. Certainly probably the greatest athlete to play in the NBA. He still got the juice. Some will say he got a different type of juice, but he could still get you. Last year, he got 24-8-8. Like, for a lot of guys, those are like career highs. I'm going to the Hall of Fame if I average 24-8-8. For LeBron, it's okay, but it's clear that it's just empty stats at this point because once LeBron gets to the playoffs, he doesn't look the same. Like, last year was probably first time I could say where I looked at LeBron and I was like, in that Timberwolves series, I was like, damn, Bron is done. He couldn't keep up. Like, it was literally the first time I was like, LeBron, he can't hang with these Jits no more, man. So as a Lakers organization, you got Luka there to bring the ticket sales and no problem. I know that's why the buses kept LeBron around, to be frank with you. Right, we are a family-run business. We need the cash, you know what I'm saying? Keep LeBron around, you know, pay him whatever he wants. You know, he'll keep the seats in the chairs, the butts in the seats. He'll have the fans keep coming back because he's LeBron. You know, everybody wants to watch LeBron. Hell, I went to watch LeBron in Atlanta a couple years ago, like, and he put on a show, like 50 points or something like that. So he still brings a fan. He still does highlights every once in a while. But it's clear that at 40, about to be 41, yeah, LeBron is too old, man, for a contract extension. That's just the truth. And the Lakers aren't going to admit it publicly. But at that age, what are we doing? What are we doing, bro? He made $52 million, right? He's going to make $52 million this year. Contract extension is probably going to be whatever, right? But at this point, LeBron, combination of LeBron and Luka, aren't going to win a championship. So for the Lakers, it's time to start looking forward, man. Start looking into the future. Pelinka's never going to say this out loud. Redick ain't going to say nothing because that's his homeboy. But we got to start building for the future if I'm a Lakers fan, because Luka's broken down body ain't going to last that long either. And supposedly Luka's in great shape. Okay, we've heard that before. Different story, different topic. But Luka ain't going to be young forever. So now is the time, Lakers, that you have to build a championship. So you can't waste any more years hanging out with Bron and, you know, hoping that, you know, you win a few games and you may win a series in the playoffs, but you know you're not going to be a real contender because 40-plus-year-old LeBron is taking up 50-some-odd million dollars of your salary cap, and you can't really bring no other stars in. So, yeah, it makes sense to say, hey, for now, we're going to pass on that extension, Bron. And you should say it when it comes up after the season. Like, we're going to pass, bro. We have to look to the future as a Lakers fan. I'm not a Lakers fan, so I'm going to rephrase it. But if I were a Lakers fan, I would be telling the organization, let's look to the future now. And listen, I know somebody's going to say, well, they gave Kobe a contract at the end. Kobe is Mr. Laker. I think there's a difference between Kobe and Bron, all right? I understand he got him a chip in a bubble, but there's a difference. Kobe was there his whole career. He didn't jump ship. He stayed through the bad years. Like, Kobe got you 17 years of memories. Played on and, you know, messed up, torn Achilles, like shot free throws in the torn. Like, that's different, bro. And LeBron's been great with the Lakers. Not taking anything away from LeBron and the Lakers. You know, scoring, you know, highest, you know, scorer ever in the NBA as a Laker. Like, sets records as a Laker. Like, all good and great. But at the end of the day, man, this guy was really a mercenary. You know what I mean? Like, he was just hopping from team to team to team. Get his rings. Get the checks, whatever it was. Make that Hollywood money, whatever it is. But now is the time for the Lakers to move forward and to look into the future, because you don't have much time to waste. Pretty soon you're going to look up and damn, Luka is out of his prime. You keep playing around hoping LeBron, you know, can still get you some 24-8-8, which is all good and great in the regular season. But come playoff time, he don't look like LeBron should look. Of course he's not, because he's old as hell. So you waste, you know, 2-3 more years with an extension on LeBron. Luka's out of his prime now. Now you just stuck with a cat making a lot of money who already can't defend, who really ain't going to be defending. Well, at that point, what are we doing? We really think Luka's going to be like prime Luka in 5 years? No, you got to, like, I would say use that salary cap to bring in some young cats who are going to defend, who are going to, you know, play the style in a way that can maximize Luka's capabilities and build up on his weaknesses, support his weaknesses. Lakers got a new ownership. I didn't think those guys, you know, they're like, those guys got money now, right? They're like, they got money, real money. I don't think they absolutely need to rely on LeBron to fill the seats when, one, Luka could do that, and two, they got money anyway. They can afford to not have to rely on LeBron to bring the to fill the stadium to make money. So if that were me, yeah, we're moving on, man. And when you think about it, this is probably like the first time somebody said no to LeBron to, in like 30 years. I don't know, since he was like 10. As a gifted athlete, LeBron's probably been getting people, having people saying yes to him for like almost 30 years, probably since he was like 13, 14, probably started growing. I don't know when he started growing and you know, really, you know, being like a standout basketball player. Let's say 14, 15. So maybe for like 26 years, 25 years, people have been saying yes to LeBron for everything. Nobody says no to LeBron. The Lakers just said no to LeBron. That must have been an awkward feeling for Bron. Damn, y'all said no to me. That hurts. Y'all said no? Teachers probably never said no. In high school, he didn't go to college. High school, no GM ever said no. Obviously, no coach ever said no. No girls probably never said no. I'm LeBron. Okay. Nah, but seriously, like, this is probably the first time somebody has said no to LeBron in a long time. And for us regular folks, it's like, you know, we don't really think how meaningful that is. But to athletes, Bron probably takes it differently, right? He's old now. But to athletes, like, who've been really great for a long time, and when the first time they get cut and a team says no to them, that hurts their pride, man. Again, LeBron's old as hell. Like, he knew that this day would come at some point. He's run his course and he's ran it well. But it's probably a weird feeling, you know, for somebody to say, no. What you mean no? What you mean no? I'm LeBron. What you mean? Yeah. It happens to everybody, Bron. But yeah, man, dude's too old. I wouldn't extend him anymore, man. It's done. It's over. Find something else to do, man. Hang out with Savannah. I don't know. Build up more businesses. Who knows? But it's over. All right. That was basketball, NBA stuff. Again, we'll do more NBA preview talk when the season gets closer, a couple weeks from now. All right, football. College football, good weekend, really good weekend of college football. My Seminoles lost. We overlooked UVA. I don't want to spend too much time on that. I want to see how we rebound against Miami this weekend. Like, that's going to be a game where I'm like, okay, are we serious this season or we just playing around? All right? Did y'all get me hyped up for no reason? I wasn't expecting much at the beginning of the year from the Seminoles. They shot me. They beat Bama. They looked really good against some scrub teams, scoring 70 points, 60 points. And then they overlook UVA. Damn. I would have loved to see a showdown undefeated team against Miami. But it ain't happening. We still got our hopes set for the playoffs, though. We could still win the ACC, so let's see what happens. But this weekend here coming up is going to tell us a lot, as a Seminoles fan, how we feel about the rest of the season. We lose, it's probably a wrap. You know, we're going to drop down into the 20s in the polls, and I don't know if we can recover like that. So we'll see. Shout out to UVA, though. They got a really good team. They made us look bad. We overlooked them. But they made our defense look bad. They scored a ton of points. It's like we couldn't stop the run or the pass. They had us guessing. But some of the bigger headlines, right, besides this, my Seminoles getting upset on Friday with the nation watching, of course. But the biggest headline from the weekend is UGA, the Bulldogs, losing to Alabama again. Kirby Smart is now 1-7 against Alabama. His lone win was in a championship game in 2022. So Bama, who lost to Florida State, who Florida State, who wasn't really supposed to be that great this season, turned out to be better than folks expected. Cool. But Florida State did whatever they wanted against Alabama. And they stopped them on defense. How does Kirby Smart and Georgia at home lose to Alabama? This ain't Nick Saban, Alabama. I can understand losing to Nick Saban. He has the aura. He has all the recruits. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has the schemes. His defense is tough. Like, I could understand losing to Saban. He, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes, you know, you play Nick Saban and coaches like that, like, they're already in your head. You overthink it, and, you know, you end up costing your team the victory as a coach because you're overthinking playing against Saban. But Kalen DeBoer? No shade, but Kirby Smart now has a problem where it's like the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, right? Like, if you're Ohio State Ryan Day and you can't beat Michigan, the fans are going to start feeling a little sus, you know what I'm saying? The fans are going to feel a certain way about you. Regardless of your success against everybody else, he's 107-13 against everybody else. Kirby Smart is. But 1-7 against Alabama. No matter who's a damn coach, he can't beat him. And he still got great recruiting classes. You know, still got tremendous athletes, running backs, receivers, defenders. Like, they got a stacked squad. But they could not stop Alabama this weekend. And you know it's getting under your skin when the press asks you about it and you start to give like snarky answers. So of course he's asked, "Hey man, you got a 1-7 record against Alabama." He's like, "I don't lose any sleep over it." Lies, cap. What's everybody else's record against them? Come on, man. Come on, dog. We talking about you. We're talking about you, Kirby Smart. What is your record against Alabama? Why is your record 1-7? We understand you know, you couldn't beat the godfather Nick Saban, but come on, bro. At some point, you got to get your boys ready and play like you play against everybody else, which is you stomp on them. You got to show who you are and actually one time, for the love of God, stomp on Alabama. Like, let them know, hey, man, we're here. Yeah, they did that a couple years ago in a championship game. But jeez, man. Again, great coach, great recruiter. He has a pipeline now of players coming in, right? But at the same time, it gotta, you know, tick you off a little bit as a UGA fan. Like, come on, man. At home, Athens, crowd is hype, night game. First time playing a game in Athens in like 10 years, I think it is. They're usually playing in a conference championship or championship game down at the Dome somewhere. On campus, night game, you got to show something. And as a fan, like, if I'm a UGA fan, I'm like, yo, we got to get these boys. And they fall short again. Like, this is a pattern, bro. You got to fix that. I know Florida's the big rivalry, but Alabama's a huge rivalry too, especially now that Florida sucks. So it's Alabama, Georgia. And they repeatedly keep smacking you in the ass, putting their foot up in it. Yeah, if I'm a fan of UGA, I'm like, what's going on, coach? We got to do something. It can't be every year we lose to these cats. We got to do something. That's disrespectful. No matter who the coach is, that's disrespectful. Yeah. I couldn't sit by and just say, okay, well, at least we only have one loss. We can still win the SEC. Yeah, that's true, but it would bother me if I'm a UGA fan that we can't beat Alabama. It really would. So Kirby Smart can't beat Alabama. And James Franklin can't beat good teams. Kirby Smart can't beat Alabama, and James Franklin can't beat any good teams. Bro is 4-21 at Penn State versus top 10 teams. This weekend, they lost to Oregon. I don't know what else to say, man. And for a long time, you know, I used to hear about people saying James Franklin is overrated and, you know, he's just a really good talker and a really good recruiter. And I'm starting to believe it. He's really good. He's really good at talking. And, you know, you would believe him, like, hoorah. But as a football coach in big games, at least he kind of owned up to it. Unlike Kirby Smart, who was trying to get snarky with people, talking about, yeah, everybody else will lose against Alabama. What's everybody else's record against Alabama? I don't lose any sleep over it. At least James Franklin kind of, you know, yeah, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's not a good feeling that his teams haven't been able to beat top 10 teams. No matter how high he is, if the team's higher or if he's higher, it doesn't matter. And at some point, as a school, it's like, yo, man, this stuff cost us championships because we have great recruiting classes. You do a great job of getting the top-notch players, bro. But we're trying to win chips here, and every time, whether it's in the regular season or in the playoffs, We lose. And we can't get our act together for a whole season to be able to accomplish the goal of getting to a championship game and winning a championship. Because we can't beat the best teams somehow, some way. So as an athletic director or whatever, I'm like, hey, yo, man, what's up? What's going on? You're getting paid a lot of money. And you do a fantastic job of keeping us in the top 10 as a top-ranked team and having, you know, top recruiting classes and all that. You know, cats going to the NFL, Abdul Carter, like, great. But at some point, Penn State has to win some games. Like, Key and Peele look alike? Like, you gotta do something, bro. You got to do something besides great messages, great talking, great recruiting. You got to start winning the big games. And he's in the Big Ten. He can't hide. So it's not like he can, you know, go a couple of weeks. No, more games are coming. More games are coming. And now you got Oregon in the Big Ten and, you know, West Coast teams in the Big Ten. Well, you really can't hide now. I'm not saying you got to win them all, but you can't. Going into a top 10 matchup with Penn State, as a fan now, I expect them to lose, and that should not be the case. At some point, you got to be the victor. You got to pull the upset. Yeah, Oregon was ranked higher, but you got to pull the upset at some point. Because when you're higher, somebody upsets you. Somebody beats you. Where's the strategy? Where is it where the coach can be the differentiator? Like with Saban, even when he was lower ranked and didn't have as good as talent as other people, like somehow his scheme, somehow his motivational skills, somehow he would set the tone to where he would be the differentiator to get his guys over the top against top 10 teams who at times were ranked higher than Alabama, who have more talent than Alabama. If you're going to be a top-notch coach making top-notch dollars, James Franklin, you're going to have to at some point be the differentiator, not just in recruiting and getting the talent and sounding real good and stuff like that during press conferences. At some point, you got to be the differentiator to get your guys over the top because you got the talent. So schematically, whatever it is you got to do, coaching, in-game adjustments, whatever it is, you're going to have to be the guy to get your team over the top against these games, against better competition. Because this is a terrible pattern. 4-21. That sucks. I'm not calling for the guy to be fired, but I mean, you play to win the game, Herm Edwards. You play to win the game. Big games, championships. You're not getting paid all that cash flow just to hang out, recruit all this talent, and not do nothing. Yeah, that's concerning. Also concerning, moving on, is the Colorado Buffaloes and Deion. Listen, man, first year in Colorado, I stuck up for Deion. I was like, yo, I think this guy's going to build something special. I think he's going to get the recruits out there. He's building this program like the 80s, the early 90s University of Miami program. Like, got all the, you know, stars on the sidelines. Like, team is cocky. And none of that has transpired. With Shador gone, like, their quarterback is, I mean, supposed to be good, but still young, I guess. Travis ain't there. Like, is he going to be able to recruit? And this is my question for Deion now. So they got a 2-3 record. They lost to BYU. Is he going to be able to recruit at Colorado? Everyone thought he was going to be able to keep getting his son's caliber player and Travis, you know, caliber players. Like, I don't know now. Because 3 years in, I'm not sure if he has NFL-level talent on his squad like that. Like, big-time talent that we thought his personality, him being Deion Sanders, was going to be able to recruit. So I'm kind of concerned for Deion, and I don't know. You know, he has the health concerns. I don't know how much longer he's going to be coaching. You know, he has a $60 million buyout clause in his contract, so they probably can't fire him, really, unless they really, really want to. But I'm concerned about Buffalo and not Buffalo. I'm concerned about, you know, Colorado and Deion and him moving forward and him being able to attract talent like I thought he was going to be after the first year when he was there. I was like, oh, this program is going to take off because he's going to recruit all the big-time talent. Everybody wants to come play for Deion. Everybody wants the limelight. All the kids like the limelight, the fancy shades, the stars on the sideline. All the kids want to be about that life. And now I don't know if Deion's going to be able to get that. I don't know if he's going to be able to build that University of Miami 80s, 90s style, you know, squad with the glam and all that stuff on the sidelines. So we'll have to see. But I'm concerned because now they're 2-3. I don't know how many more games they're going to win. Their defense really ain't that good. Their offense is mid. I mean, who knows? What's crazy, though, is that even with the losing, even with the games, like when you watch Colorado, right? So they're on late night now. When you watch Colorado, though, like they're not like a great team to watch. Like with Shador, they were exciting. Travis was doing his thing. They were exciting. I don't know how exciting they are now. They're actually kind of boring to watch. But, people still watch it. Like, they're still one of the most watched teams in the nation. At 2-3, unranked, no real stars in their team. They get like $2 million a week. It's like, who is still watching the Colorado Buffaloes games? I know the answer. Haters. People hate watch. People hate watching Deion now because the first year he came in, he did way better than people expected. You know, he was of course, Deion. That's his personality. People ain't like that. People ain't like Shador and his style and, you know, showing off his watches and all that. They ain't like that. So, yeah, there are fans across the country, fans of Deion watching, but I think most people watching 2 million a week? Like, he's literally competing with, like, the big boys. Like, the UGAs in them every week. Like, who actually win games. And I think most of those people are hate watching, like, hoping he gets his brains beat in, like, the Colorado loses and gets blown out every week. Because ain't no way that many people watching Deion and the Colorado Buffaloes. Not anymore. The star power's gone. The glam, the lights around them's gone. They don't get as much coverage anymore. Like, they were like a literal, like, rock band first year. Now it's like, eh. Eh. Crazy. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be able to recruit at Colorado. And as a result, I don't know what his record is going to be like at the end of the day. And I don't know how long he's going to last it. All right. NFL time. Headlines from this weekend. Baltimore is 1-3, and I have no idea who to blame besides their defense sucks. It's not good. I know they got some key injuries, but Baltimore's defense is usually better than this. Injuries or no injuries. I don't know what's going on, but they can't really stop anybody. Lions ran through them. Buffalo with a nasty comeback week one. Chiefs played with them all over the field on Sunday. They can't stop people. So that's the problem. Lamar didn't have a great game on Sunday, but typically Lamar's going to play well. Now he has a hamstring injury, I think. I don't know how long he's going to be out, if any. But Baltimore sitting at 1-3 is clearly not the team I thought they were going to be. Their defense is really sus. And when it comes playoff time, you know they ain't beating the Chiefs. Probably ain't beating Buffalo. Not with those defenses. So we're back to square one again with the Baltimore Ravens. What are we doing? What are we doing? You get smashed 37-20 against the Chiefs, who you're likely to meet again. Lamar's 1-5. Speaking of people who can't beat somebody, Lamar's 1-5 against the Chiefs. What are we gonna do here? When is Baltimore gonna like overcome that hill, right? And is the excuse now that the defense is bad? The excuse is gonna just be the defense ain't good enough. Everyone's adjusting their predictions for the Baltimore Ravens, you know, saying we thought they were Super Bowl bound, but the defense ain't good enough. But the defense is probably going to take away from the fact that come playoff time, Lamar's probably not going to play well. And it's going to take away from the fact that the spotlight should be more on him, at least in the playoffs. But right now, they're just not a good team defensively. And the offense pretty much has to score every time they touch the ball because the defense ain't stopping nobody. Yeah. I defended Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, a couple weeks ago. I don't know, man. Like, when the defense looks this bad, I don't know. Can't blame your quarterback. Gonna blame your defensive coordinator. You got to blame the head coach on this one. So that's to me, is the biggest headline coming out of week four of the NFL is, why the hell is Baltimore 1-3? I thought they were going to be the class of the AFC. Obviously, the playoffs, you would have had to wait and see. But I thought Baltimore was going to be like the best team record-wise in the AFC in the regular season. Now, I have no idea. Which leads me to this. Everybody buckle up. Get ready to cry. Get ready to complain that the refs are cheating for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, blah, blah, blah. The NFL is a script. Get ready to complain. The Chiefs are heading back to the Super Bowl. I'm telling y'all right now. All right? If they play the Bills, they're going to beat them because they always do. If they play the Ravens, they're going to beat them because they always do now. And Lamar hasn't proven to be a playoff performer. And now the Ravens defense sucks. Like, if you let this version of the Chiefs score 37 points on you, you're not a serious defense. You're not real at all. So the Chiefs are probably going to end up in the Super Bowl again, and we're all going to be upset saying it's scripted. And no, man. They're just a team that knows how to win. Other teams don't, apparently. Andy Reid knows how to coach in big games. Spagnuolo knows how to coach in big games. You know, Pat is a big game player. Old ass Travis Kelce still makes plays in big games. Like, that's what they do. And the defense makes big plays in big games. The Ravens aren't going to beat the Chiefs if they meet in the playoffs. For the Ravens to get to the Super Bowl, they would have to take a different route and not have to play the Chiefs. And the Bills, every year this happens, clearly they can't beat the Bills. They can't beat the Chiefs either. For whatever reason. Whether at home or away, they can't beat the Chiefs either. So to me, if the Chiefs are going to get kicked out of the playoffs, it's going to be somebody like the Chargers, somebody like that, right? Somebody different who can play physical, right? Jim Harbaugh, you know, can scheme up a physical game plan to run the ball. I don't know. And they can still make plays on the outside. It's going to take somebody like the Chargers to beat the Chiefs, in my opinion, in the playoffs. Because neither the Bills, who look really good right now, but we know what happens in the playoffs against the Chiefs, nor the Ravens, are going to beat them. So y'all get ready to be mad out there. Chiefs are heading back to the Super Bowl, all right? You heard it here first. NFC. So apparently Dan Campbell can coach. Slow clap. Seriously, Dan Campbell can coach. And after that first week loss, of course, that was an overreaction week, right? My first week overreactions was, Can Dan Campbell do anything other than bite kneecaps? Apparently he can. Hell of a coach. Motivates his team. Always tough. Always physical. And they're still scoring a lot of points. That's not just somebody who relies on their offensive coordinator. That's a coach who actually has his team, who has his hands on the pulse of his team. That's a coach who gets his team ready, who has them motivated, ready to go every week. Because they smashed the Browns, who pretty much shut out the Packers, who I thought were the best team in the league just a couple weeks ago. They beat the Ravens, scored like 30-some-odd points on the Ravens. Like, he's a really good coach. They smashed the Bears. So I got to give credit to Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell is a really good coach. Like, he may not be schematically X's and O's. I don't know what he's doing exactly. Maybe he's just playing the executive role and he allows his coordinators to, you know, do their thing. Whatever it is, it's working. And the Lions are still contenders, legit contenders. If they win a Super Bowl or not, I don't know. Dan Campbell still wants to gamble on fourth downs. All fine and great by me. I do it on Madden all the time when I used to play Madden. But no, he's a hell of a coach, and I got to give him props. All right? So apparently Dan Campbell is not just a kneecap biter. The Lions are still in it. They could still score points. They defend good enough. So they're a contender in the NFC. Football is still football, y'all. So the Tennessee Titans, their fans were trying to get rid of Vrabel his last year there. Last couple years in Tennessee, the Titans fans wanted to get rid of Vrabel. They thought Derrick Henry was done. You know, Ryan Tannehill, you know, that whole squad that had, you know, successful a few years over there, they wanted all of them gone. But specifically Vrabel, they were like, Vrabel's got to go. He's an old school coach. The game has passed him by. Despite his success with limited rosters, Titans fans wanted Vrabel gone. And now they got a head coach who can't win any games at all, Brian Callahan. Oh, we wanted a modern coach with a modern offense. NFL fans don't know what they're asking for, man. Football at the end of the day is football, man. Modern offense or not, your team has to be physical and they have to be disciplined. And the Tennessee Titans are neither. And their young, you know, rookie quarterback, Cam Ward, this weekend, after this weekend's game, they got skunked. They got skunked by the Texans. Cam Ward's like, we ass. And they are. And it starts with the head coach. So Titans fans, I don't know how you feeling now that you wanted Vrabel gone, who, by the way, got the Patriots sitting at 2-2. They just put like a 40 burger on the Panthers, who, you know, pitched a shutout last week. NFL fans everywhere, do not take good coaching for granted. Because somebody who's a coordinator with prolific offenses looking great, they may just be just that, a coordinator. And when you put them in the seat, the top seat, they can't really get it done like that. I don't care if the Titans have a young team or not, they have a rookie quarterback or not. That's 2 years straight where they just haven't looked good. And they're probably going to end up with a number one draft pick again this year. Can't draft another quarterback. I think Cam Ward is going to be really good, by the way. But the Titans look awful. They don't look well coached. They don't look motivated. Something that a good head coach does, despite the talent on the team. That's what Mike Vrabel does. And now the Patriots have a really good coach. They just have to keep building. Don't take good coaching lightly. A couple more thoughts and I got to get out of here. Dallas and Packers ended 40-40. Sunday Night Football. NFL games can't be ending in ties. They can't. We got to stop that. Let's move to a more modernized scoring system, all right? A more modernized end of games for NFL games. Ain't no way NFL games in 2025 should be ending tied. All that hard work that football players do during the week, the injury risk they put themselves through, and then you come out there and you end the game in a tie as if you didn't even play a game. Might as well not have played if we're going to just get a tie. It sucks, man. These guys go through all this stuff with their body, you know, like injuries, you know, tough practices. And, oh, yeah, we're just going to end the game here. Like, when you watch that game and you watch the ending, it's like, everybody's like, okay. After all that you put yourself through, you want to celebrate, man. Victory or defeat, like, the emotion you've put into the game, at the end of the game, you want to feel some sort of way, win or lose. You don't want to just walk off the field like I ain't do nothing. For us regular folks, we don't really know what that feels like because we're not put in a position where there's really a tie. But I can't imagine working my ass off for 8 hours in a day and then my manager saying, yo, you ain't do nothing. You really didn't. That's really what we tell NFL players after tie games. Yo, you didn't really do nothing today. Because at the end of the day, you just got a tie. You ain't do nothing today. After all the blood, sweat, and tears, ankles messed up, elbows and knees, you ain't really do nothing because it's a tie game, 40-40. You don't leave with any emotion. You're walking off the field emotionless. I don't know, man. If it were me, if I were commissioner of the NFL, there would be no tied games. All right? We would play. Now, we wouldn't do it exactly like college, but we would take one thing from college and And this is what we would take from college. We play the full quarter like they do, right, today in the NFL. We play the quarter, right? If it's still tied, so like this weekend's game, if it's still tied 40-40 after that quarter, we would bring in that college rule of just two-point conversions. Because we know by then cats are tired, right? So this is one last gasp, if you will, like a shootout, right? The two-point conversion is essentially like a shootout in soccer. Right? You can't play in soccer like they play like 100-plus minutes. You can't play any more minutes. Let's just do a penalty kick shootout. So in the NFL, after the regular, after four quarters, right, you play overtime. Overtime's a tie. We're doing shootouts. And the shootout equivalent in football is a two-point conversion. Line it up, two-point conversion. If you, you know, whoever, you know, stops the other person first, right, wins the game. Or I shouldn't say it that way. I should say, you get ball, you score, other team gets the ball, they don't score, first team wins. That's it. Everybody's tired, I know. But that's a way for me, I feel like that brings closure. I won a game, I'm excited. I lost a game, I'm upset. All that emotion flows out of you after playing such a tough game, a long game. You get to, that's why you play sports. This is why we play sports, man. We play sports for the emotions. Lose, win or lose. Right? The emotion of sports is whether you're playing pickups, basketball, whatever it is, you play now for that emotion of winning or losing. Oh, man, I lost. Damn it. Now I got to get down. Oh, yeah, I won. I stay on the court. That's why we play still. We don't play to tie. Nobody plays to tie in sports. What are we doing? These guys put their bodies through hell 60 minutes plus the extra overtime period. And you going to tell them we go home in a tie? Maybe it's just me, dog. I want to feel some kind of emotion of either winning or losing. So my proposal, again, you line them up, four quarters, 60 minutes, nobody wins, cool. Overtime, we play overtime, period, nobody wins, cool. After overtime, if it's still tied, we go to sudden death, not really sudden death, but we go to two-point conversion college football style. And that will decide the game. Everybody's tired. You're going to suck it up. And that is the NFL's version of the penalty kick that we get in soccer. Who's with me? That's better than a tie game to me. I'm sorry. I can't sit there and be cool with somebody walking off the field tied. It don't feel right. It just don't. Really don't. All right, last topic before I get out of here. So last couple of weeks, Dolphins are my team. I've talked about, you know, that it's possible that, you know, I heard in the news that, you know, Tyreek, you know, people were sniffing around Tyreek and wanting a trade for him. And Tyreek goes out Monday night against the Jets, and it's a nasty injury. But shout out to Tyreek, man. Shout out to Tyreek. Obviously, you know, Dolphins are my team, and, you know, I've talked about him being gone and the impact that would have on Tua, but that ain't how I want. That's not how I want, you know, the season to go. Not with Tyreek getting hurt like that. That was a nasty injury. But he's a G, man. He was smiling through it all, you know, waving to the crowd. Like, Tyreek Hill is a G. So speedy recovery to the cheetah. NFL is just the NFL, man. It's an unforgiving sport. You never know. Like, that play happens 100 times on the sideline. He catches the ball, he goes down, and then you look at it, and, you know, your leg is twisting the wrong way. I know the team's hurt. Dolphins won Monday Night Football against the Jets. But, yeah, that injury is going to sting. So, speedy recovery to Tyreek, the cheetah. Come back stronger than ever, man. But he's a G for the way he handled that injury. He wasn't crying. Most cats are crying, towels over their heads. Like, he's smiling, raving to the crowd, thumbs up. I can appreciate that. That's a warrior right there. That's a tough cat. That's one tough cat, that cheetah. That's a tough cat. All right. I'm going to leave it there. Appreciate y'all hanging out as always. I'm going to catch you guys next time. Mike, Sports in the Real shit. Have a great week. Y'all be good. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.